British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has withstood a challenge to his Conservative Party leadership. With an election 3 years away, can he regain MPs' trust and perhaps, more importantly, that of the British people? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Hashim Ahlbarra. The UK Prime Minister says it's time to move on from questions about his leadership. Boris Johnson survived a confidence vote within his own party on Monday, calling the outcome convincing and a decisive result. But the scale of the rebellion means some government ministers and aides voted against Johnson in the secret ballot while supporting him in public. Not since Margaret Thatcher's leadership challenge in 1990 has there been such a close vote. Even though he survived this round, it's definitely raising doubts about Boris Johnson's future. 211 Conservative MPs voted to support the Prime Minister, while 148 voted against him. That means 40% of Johnson's colleagues chose not to back him. Al Jazeera's Paul Brennan reports from London.
A victory for the Prime Minister, but far from convincingly.
The vote in favour of having confidence in Boris Johnson as leader was 211 votes, and the vote against was 148 votes. And therefore, I can announce that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence. Yeah.
Yeah. A raucous reaction from Boris Johnson's supporters. But there's no disguising the enormity of the 148 MPs who voted against their own leader.
I think it's a convincing result, a decisive result, and what it means is that as a government we can move on and focus on the stuff that I think really matters to people.
Mr. Speaker,
recent feverish speculation about Boris Johnson's political future have been relegated somewhat by last week's four-day national holiday in honour of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. But the public booing which greeted the Prime Minister at Friday's service of thanksgiving for the Queen was an ominous indicator. A random sample of London commuters confirms a certain degree of public disillusionment.
I thought that was so telling, actually, that he got booed. I think that was almost like... that felt like a turning point to me, actually.
Despite securing a solid 80-seat majority in the general election just 2.5 years ago, Boris Johnson has endured months of controversy and criticism which have steadily undermined his authority. Chief among them, the Partygate saga, where Johnson and many of his staff were found to have flouted COVID lockdown rules at Downing Street gatherings. Johnson became the first PM judged to have broken the law while in office. The official inquiry into those events criticised a lack of leadership.
The British public are fed up with a Prime Minister who promises big but never delivers. Fed up with a Prime Minister who's presided over a culture of lies and law-breaking at the heart of government. Fed up with a Prime Minister who is utterly unfit for the great office that he holds.
It's a victory for Boris Johnson, but hardly a ringing endorsement of him and his leadership. One commentator on Monday said Johnson's appeal within the party was a mile wide, but just an inch deep, and so it seems. Johnson himself will undoubtedly battle on, fighting tooth and nail to retain his grip on power, but his options are rapidly dwindling. The current rules mean it will be at least 12 months before a new confidence vote can be called. But questions about the Prime Minister's judgment and credibility remain. And precedent shows that surviving a confidence vote often represents only a stay of execution for Tory leaders rather than a full reprieve. Paul Brennan, Al Jazeera, Westminster.
Let's bring in our guests in London. Kevin Craig is CEO and founder of PLMR Communications. In Edinburgh, Ross Greer is Scottish Green Party politician and member of the Scottish Parliament. In London, Anna Mendoza is Executive Director of the Henry Jackson Society. Welcome to the programme. Kevin, for Prime Minister, he wants the people to turn the chapter move on. Do you see it that same way?
I think even somebody who tries to be as politically neutral as possible in this country has to say now it's going to be very difficult for the Prime Minister to move on. He may have won the vote of confidence last night among his own MPs, but look at this statistic. In the House of Commons, in the British Parliament, 211 of the 650 MPs think that the Prime Minister is the right man to lead the country. And I know you can say a win by one vote is a win, but last night was a historically exceptionally low level of support for a sitting Conservative MP. And I think in reality, with all these challenges coming ahead, the environment, the cost of living, the conflict in Ukraine, it is going to be very difficult for Boris Johnson, who is a great political survivor, to see this through. And we have two big moments of danger coming up in the next month in Britain for him. Number one, in late June, two parliamentary by-elections. If he loses both of those, in particular one where the Liberal Democrats, who are one of the top five parties in this country, like the Greens, if he loses that, he's in severe trouble. And we have a House of Commons Privileges Committee publicly looking into whether or not the Prime Minister lied to the House of Commons. So, yes, he won last night technically and in arithmetic terms, but this is not over.
Ross, the opposition came out critical of the outcome of the vote and also the legacy of Mr. Johnson. Are you one of those who think that his days are numbered?
It's very clear that when three quarters of his backbench MPs, backbench Tory MPs, say they have no confidence in him, it's time to go. Boris Johnson only survived the vote of confidence because of the payroll vote, the large number of Tory MPs who are ministers, junior ministers, parliamentary secretaries who are part of the government. When you've lost control of three quarters of your own backbench parliamentary party, never mind the rest of the country, clearly your days are numbered. Theresa May survived a vote of no confidence with a larger margin than this and was still gone within a few months. It's not just about the fact that Boris Johnson and all of those around him broke the rules that they were setting during COVID. It's the fact that he lied about it. This whole episode shows up one of the traits that most people in the UK always knew about Boris Johnson and people of his class, that they think they can get away with anything because so much of their life has been spent not having to deal with the consequences of their own decisions. Now, Scotland's obviously in a different place. Scotland never had confidence in Boris Johnson in the first place. His party have never won an election here. You have to go back to the 50s for their predecessor party to have won one. But it's quite clear across the UK, there is absolutely no trust in this Prime Minister. And when you've got a cost of living crisis, a war on the European continent, a climate emergency, and so much still deeply wrong with their economy, you need politicians, you need leaders who you can trust. Boris Johnson has used that all up. He quite clearly lied, not just to Parliament, but to the public as well.
Alan, do you see Boris Johnson bouncing back in the near future?
Well, I think he's going to need to bounce back if he's going to survive. That's the reality of this. Yes, he did secure a victory. It was a victory, ultimately. You know, you could have gone with that backdrop that your previous guests set out. You might have expected him to lose that vote. He didn't. He held on. I also think it's maybe a mistake to think it's only his backbenchers voting against him. There might be others, you know, ambitious people, you know, manoeuvring within the cabinet itself to look at this. But take it aside for a second. He's won the vote. Maybe it wasn't, you know, as convincing a victory as he would have liked. He now has a brief period of time when he can reset or attempt to reset the agenda. And the reality is he needs to do this very quickly. He does have a problem with two by-elections coming up, and we'll see how the Conservatives do in that. But I would expect if he really wants to, you know, kind of stay in this job, I'd expect there to be a reshuffle of his government. And I'd expect there to be a series of policy launches to show that he is leading once again. I think part of the reason he's been in trouble is because there's a sense the government has been a little bit in drift. Now, maybe events have contributed to that. Now, he needs to get a handle on that very quickly. And if he can, I think he mm-hmm. it is possible he could turn this around simply because he has a remarkable ability to get out of, you know, positions others might not manage to.
Kevin, judging from the results of the confidence vote, is he likely to be able to hold the party together? Because there's absolutely no doubt in the mind of the people who are watching the vote that the Tories are more divided than ever.
Yes, and look, I'm going to make a real effort here to try and be really fair to the Prime Minister and try to be very measured in what I say. But look at the reality. We have now on social media a briefing note written by Conservative MPs outlining in great detail the flaws and all the reasons why Boris Johnson makes a terrible prime minister. And once a week here in Britain, we have prime minister's questions. And can you imagine how terrible it's going to be every week when the leader of the Labour Party, the leader of the SNP, the Scottish Nationalist Party in Westminster, they get up and they've got an attack sheet to really use viciously against the Prime Minister, not written by people who don't vote Conservative. This is written by Conservative MPs. And the reality is, I heard what your previous guest said, and that is one theoretical way forward. But sometimes in politics in this country, you can smell the way that things are going. And even though he won last night, you know, it is, I cannot see Boris Johnson leading the Conservative Party into the next general election. And I'll tell you this, mm-hmm. the Labour Party certainly would love it if he did currently. But politically, in terms of political strategy, the clever thing to do for the Conservatives, which they've done before, because as we all know on this show today, they're very, very clever at winning elections, is to find a new leader and then try and make the rest of the country forget that it's actually been the Conservatives with a prime minister since 2010. Mm-hmm. That would be the clever thing to do. That's what they'll probably do.
Ross, what would be the future for the opposition? I would assume that they would like to seize the moment, but ultimately, despite all the statements made by the opposition, we're still talking about the man who led his party to a landslide victory in 2019, and for many, still remains invincible.
Kevin's right that for those of us in opposition parties, Boris Johnson is the perfect opponent. For the Scottish independence movement, he is absolutely the perfect opponent. He's everything that we want people to believe Westminster politics is and the reasons why people in Scotland should vote for independence. But even for the UK Labour Party, of course he's the perfect opponent. But we all still believe he should go because that's the right thing. There should be consequences for your actions in this country, especially when you occupy the highest office in it. So as much as, yeah, it would be electorally fantastic for everyone who's got a Conservative opponent for Boris Johnson to still be in place at the time of the next election, it is the right thing for him to go now. And I'm quite sure that Conservative MPs will not be motivated by doing the right thing. They will be motivated by their own self-interest. They'll be seeing the same polling that the rest of us are, that their support in the so-called red wall across the north of England has massively eroded. Their support in core Conservative areas in the southeast, south of London, has massively eroded as well. They'll be looking at their own self-interest. Do they really want to keep him on as their party leader if it's going to cost them their own seat and their own job? I think that is what's going to push more Conservative MPs over the edge. And I absolutely agree, he will not be the leader of the Conservative Party come the next election. And he can't put an agenda together to mm-hmm. lead his party, to unite his party, never mind to unite the country. If you think of the two most memorable things he's done in recent weeks, one was not his. It was Rishi Sunak announcing a windfall tax that the opposition had forced them into. It's a watered-down version of it, but something the opposition forced. It wasn't the Conservatives' own. The only Conservative-made policy I can remember from the last few weeks is their announcement that they're bringing back pounds and ounces, imperial measurements. Boris Johnson doesn't have a governing agenda. He wants to be, he's always wanted to be Prime Minister. He doesn't actually want to do the job of being Prime Minister. We need someone who's actually interested okay. in doing this job at a time as critical as this.
Alan, could the economy be his last chance to win the hearts and minds of the British people, particularly if he manages within the upcoming months to fix the issues of the cost of living, inflation, and also the domestic energy costs?
Well, of course, that would be a dramatic turnaround. I think we've got to manage expectations on that one. In reality, we're in a global situation when it comes to the cost of living crisis. Here's something being shared across the world right now. And you know, maybe we'll manage it better than other people, maybe we won't. But I think we've got some way to roll on that subject before we get to the end point. But I actually want to come back on what Ross said. There is something to the idea that he has to now show leadership, is what I said at the start. The reality is, if there is no leadership coming forth from Boris now, I do think he is sunk as the Prime Minister and leader of the Conservative Party. His only chance of coming out of this is going to be to put together an agenda that firstly gives some hope to his party that their interests and concerns are being met. Secondly, gives some hope to the country that interests and concerns are being met in that way. Now, he's a very good vision person and he's a very good motivator. And to give an example of that, look at the work he's done in Ukraine, where he's essentially led the world on that. Yes, of course, President Biden's joined in on that as well. But if you compare where the Europeans are largely to where the British have been, Boris has come out and it's been one of his finest hours. If he can transfer that level of leadership to the domestic agenda, and it's going to be obviously be a big ask, but if he can, then there is a route out of this for him, most definitely, because I think people respond to that.
Kevin, where does it leave political life in the UK? Are we likely to see more political infighting, divisions and posturing among all the political parties for a bigger say in the near future?
I think the biggest consequence of what's happened, which I think probably all of us will agree on, is the uncertainty. And it is a remarkable fact to remember that in December 2019, 43.6% of the popular vote in Britain, the general election, voted for the Conservative Party led by Boris Johnson. It is an incredible story of what can change in a very short period of time, less than 3 years. And yes, there is uncertainty. We have to try, in my job, to advise clients, public sector charities and businesses on what's going to happen next. And it just now, the reality is, the Boris Johnson agenda, whatever that turns out to be, is going to be very difficult to get through in Parliament. Because I go back to the fact that only 211 out of 650 British MPs think he's the man for the job. So, of course, it's uncertain. Mm-hmm. I think Adam's right. If it wasn't for Ukraine, I think he would have lost the vote last night, because he has done what I expect any prime minister to have done, which is led with courage from the front. But, you know, it is going to be the most incredibly volatile and uncertain time in British politics up to the last possible date of a general election in December 24. And that will have implications internationally, because you will probably see a different set of leaders going into the general election and a new prime minister. That is more likely now, in my opinion.
Ross, when you look at the legacy of Boris Johnson, people have been talking about his eccentric behaviour. But you know, when you look at the start of the pandemic, he was late to respond. However, the way he responded later, by maximising the vaccine drive in the country, opening up the society when most of Europe was really sceptical about that move, the way he's been handling the Ukraine crisis, gives you an indication that this is someone who is going to fight until the end for his political survival.
It indicates that Boris Johnson will fight for one thing, and that's his own job, not for the public. There were so many steps he could have taken throughout the pandemic that would have saved more lives, and he didn't do it. What we're seeing now is a man who's fighting really, really hard, but to keep his own job. If I think of Boris Johnson's legacy of his time in office these last couple of years, I think of the £20 cut to universal credit that's putting millions of families back into crisis. I think of the devastation to our public services. I think of the fact that, yes, in the last few months, he may have shown the kind of leadership we would expect from any British Prime Minister over Ukraine. But this is the leader of a Conservative Party who's accepted incredibly large donations from those very, very closely associated with Vladimir Putin, done nothing until recently to clean up the huge amount of money laundering in the City of London that finances the Kremlin and others. And even now, the steps they're taking are completely inadequate. it is not good enough to only be the kind of prime minister who's capable of putting an effort in when your own job is on the line. The prime minister should be putting an effort in every single day for the people, not just those who elected them, obviously for the whole country, for the planet as a whole. Boris Johnson doesn't do that because, as I said before, he's always wanted to be prime minister. He's never actually wanted to do the job of prime minister. And we need someone who will do that job. In a time of climate emergency and economic crisis, never mind war on our continent, we need somebody who wants to do the job, not somebody who just wants to go down in the history books as having occupied the building.
Alan, who do you think has the potential to take over, become the next successor of Boris Johnson? I'll give you a list of names. Liz Truss, Ben Wallace, Rishi Sunak, Penny Mondrant and Jeremy Hunt.
Well, look, they've all got their own, you know, kind of abilities and sort of negatives attached to them. There are, by the way, a few others who would be upset they're not on your list, people like Nadim Zahawi, Grant Shapps. You know, there's quite a number of people who could quite happily, make it on to be prime minister. But the question really is, at the moment, it's still Boris Johnson's to lose as such. He's got this opportunity now to come out swinging in the way we've seen him do it before. And I don't think it's fair to say that he only sort of acts when his job's at stake. You know, some of the decisions he made during COVID had nothing to do with his job at stake. These were big decisions for the country, decisions to push forward in certain ways versus others. Yeah, mistakes were made, but show me a country where mistakes were not made. I think what's interesting is he's got the big calls right in the past few years. The question is, on now the biggest call of all, which is frankly the agenda for this country going forward, is he going to get that right? And this will be the test. Can he come out and will he be able to speak to people in the street, as it were, and say, look, I know what your concerns are. I feel the same as you, and this is what I intend to do about it. That's why he won that big majority in 2019, because he was able to address that. So the question now is, can he summon up the spirit of that once again, in very difficult circumstances, and provide a winning combination? And the answer to his premiership and whether any of those others will take over rests solely on that question.
Kevin, now the Labour Party seems to be making some gains in the latest surveys. But however, do you see the potential for the Labour Party to take over in the upcoming general elections? And do you think that the public opinion is going to be willing to move forward to a new leadership against the backdrop of a dysfunctional economy, NHS which is in tatters, huge political problems, and you have the war in Ukraine?
Yeah. Well, I think the Labour Party under Keir Starmer is more electable and more credible than at any time in many, many years. I think, as Keir himself would say, as leader of the Labour Party, it was a very, very bad defeat in 2019. It was the Labour Party's worst results since the 1930s. And you don't automatically earn the right to govern just because the other side are, in other words, messing it up. That's not enough to hope to win by default. And I think the challenge for Sir Keir Starmer and the Labour Party is to outline a vision of what Britain looks like under his leadership, and that job is not yet complete, as he would say. But the one thing he does have in his favour is that people trust him more. They think he has integrity. I think the theory we've just heard about what Boris Johnson could do is fine, but I think every piece of evidence suggests at the moment the British public are not listening and they don't believe Boris anymore. So Keir Starmer, his challenge is increase his personality as the public feel it and see it and outline that vision for what the country is. And that will be the challenge for the Green Party that my colleague here represents tonight. You know, that's the challenge, although Labour are doing much, much better than they were.
Ross, briefly, if you don't mind, what was the problem with Boris Johnson, his personal behaviour or the substance of the legacy itself?
The substance of his time in office has done far, far more damage to the British public than his behaviour. His behaviour is shocking, lying in Parliament, lying to the public, that's unacceptable. But this is a Prime Minister who's presided over cuts to universal credit that have put huge numbers of families back into financial crisis at a time where there's an existing cost of living crisis. He's a Prime Minister who's presided over more arms sales to some of the worst human rights abusers on the planet, a government that's just greenlit a new gas field in the North Sea just a few months after after hosting the COP26 climate summit. These are all decisions that we will have to bear the consequences of for decades, and in the case of the climate decisions, for centuries to come. Those are the real pressing reasons why we need a change of government in the UK, and why I believe Scotland needs actually to leave the UK entirely.
We'll have to leave it there. Ross Greener, Kevin Craig, Alan Mendoza, thank you very much indeed for your insight. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.